Good news. We need good news, don't we?
Yes.
We hear enough of the bad news, and so we want good news. It's not all about death and destruction. Is, you know, if you don't know the Lord, that's what you see out there. But it's good news. It's life.
And peace.
Peace, joy. Righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Okay, we're in Psalm 67. It's a short little psalm, but a powerful psalm. So let's go ahead and start with a prayer. Brother, would you like to lead us in prayer? Okay, that's fine. I just want to make sure that you have the opportunity, and I know how you feel. I've felt that way at times. I just didn't feel like ready to go. So how about you, Brenda?
You know, I'm always ready.
I know Brenda.
Father, we so thank you for this day, but this is a day that you have made, and we will rejoice, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. Father, we just thank you for all things, Father, and we ask you just to bless this time of fellowship together.
Yes, Lord.
Open the word.
Yes.
Yeah, let life, Father, be, Father, so in us and through us, Lord.
Yes, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I think we're only going to probably get about 4 or 5 verses this hour, so Lord's got a lot to say today. It's just one of those things where it just kept like an onion, just layer after layer started happening. So let's see, can you mic that up and someone read, or can you read then? You can just turn this to you and read.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Right here.
Okay, go
is
ahead.
This is on?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's on. Yeah. Psalm 67. Go ahead, read. Go ahead and start with the New King James Version,
okay.
67. Oh, there. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. All right, go ahead. Just the first 5 verses.
God, be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, oh God, let all the peoples praise you.
Okay. All righty. All kinds of fun stuff in that, isn't there? Let's start with the first verse. I want Brenda for you to read that in Amplified.
First verse. God be merciful and gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us and among us. Selah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to ponder there. Pause for reflection, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start off with this. When I read this, I didn't think too much about it, but this morning after doing a few things throughout the week, I read it and I went, there's something to this here that more than what meets the eye. It says, okay, if I'm saying God be merciful unto us and bless us, who am I speaking to? I'm speaking to God.
Yeah.
It's like second person, right? Me and God, second you know, second person. Hey, Pat, how you doing? How you doing? That's it. And so it's saying, okay, God, be merciful to us, okay? And I'm saying, oh, that's good. You know, God, be merciful unto us. That's really good. And then it goes into third person. It says, cause his face to shine upon us. So it's a third person pronoun there. So I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. What happened there? Where was the transition there? So I just started, you know, just kind of asking the Lord, what's all this about? And it's all about Jesus. Make His face. Make His face shine upon us. Make His face shine upon us. I thought, wow, that's really good. And when we're saying make His face shine upon us, what we're saying is make His face shine upon us so that we can reflect that back yes. to others. Yeah. And if we're reflecting back to others, guess whose face is really shining? I mean, you know, come on. I mean, you've seen people and their face was shining. I mean, you knew that the joy of the Lord was on them. You knew the peace of God was on them. You knew they probably had a word. I mean, you knew that this person is like prayed up and anointed and whatever, you know. And that's what He wants for us. That's exactly what He wants for us. So I believe David's prophesying here. I mean, Jesus hadn't walked the earth, okay? So, I mean, I believe David knew Jesus. And I believe that when, you know, David is referring to His face, in the Amplified, it's capital H. And here, it's small h. And again, I don't want to get too nitpick, but I think sometimes God will hide something from us to see if we'll dig it out, you know, and we'll, you know, so I think, you know, cause His face to shine upon us so that we, our faces will shine upon those who need that light, who are in darkness. You know, Isaiah says that, you know, that gross darkness covers the people. Well, what's going to solve the problem of people with gross darkness on them? Light. That's the only thing that's going to get rid of the darkness is light. So, I mean, you know, I believe this is a prophetic word for the revealing of the sons of God is what I believe. You know, because when those sons and daughters start manifesting on earth, yeah. The face is presence. It's the presence, you know. Your presence is God's presence. And so when you go into a group or you go into work or you go into the grocery store, you go into your family's family reunion, whatever, that face is carrying the presence of God with it. Okay, we are the temple, right? Okay, so cause His face to shine. 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts." And that's what it's all about, really. It's there's where the shining occurs. I don't think I've seen anybody's face glowing, but I think Peter and John and James saw Jesus. I think they saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, I think yeah. they really did see it manifest physically. But exactly, he had to put a veil on it.
In the presence of God.
Amen, amen. So anyway, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, I think that just kind of illustrates that first verse of Psalm 67. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. That's a mouthful there. In His presence, in His face, is fullness of joy. That's where you'll find your joy. It's not going to come through something dress you buy, or it's not going to come through this, that, and the other. What are you laughing for, Pat? So, you know, it's only going to come through His presence. So in the face of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And then Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Which is in, can I say this, heaven? Which is in heaven? You know, let heaven come to earth. It's already here. Been done. And then I love this at the end of the book, at the end of the whole book, in Revelation 21:23, and it says, and the city, meaning us, the New Jerusalem, the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So that Shekinah glory of God that was housed in the Holy of Holies in Moses' tabernacle and in the temple, the veil was rent so that not only could we enter in, but so that it could come back out, whatever, anyway. So that Shekinah glory of God is shining in our hearts, and we need to let it shine. We need to let it shine. I know we get caught up with some rough days sometimes, and you don't feel a lot of light in there, you know.
And then Stephen, when they said out his show, and they were stoning him to death, and he saw Christ standing on the right hand, you know, of God.
Yes.
Yeah. We're on these rough places. I've been having some rough places.
Lately?
Yes. And I was, Lord, you know, I've been reading Power and Praise.
Mm-hmm. Crothers.
Yes.
Yes. Good
and
book.
I've been reading in Ephesians, and I got a book on maturing in the saints. I said, yes, I know. I see what you're doing, God. I see you want me to praise you in the midst of this.
Mm-hmm.
Not look at what I'm seeing with the natural, but knowing what in the midst of it, I know he's doing something in me.
Yes.
And he is. So regardless of how hard the place has been, and trials are where it's been a hard place, God has given me a peace. But it was after, I cried. Oh, Lord, what is this going to change, and this, and that, and looking for the answers, and that. And then, it hadn't changed, but I have peace even before, you know, help is coming, because he told me to praise him.
That's the power that's in praise.
I tell you, it makes a difference.
Praise the Lord.
He makes a difference.
Yeah, you know, it's like, why is it that when everything's going great, it's easier to praise the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? And why is it when everything's going south, we tend to not praise him as much?
And we're not beholding him. I believe when we're not praising him, that's why I'm looking at the situation and not seeing him.
That's it.
And not seeing him.
Yep.
But as you start beholding him, he's greater than anything we're going through. And you know the outcome is going to be he's glorifying himself, but it's working for our good.
Amen.
And yes.
If we could just get ourselves to a point when something happens that doesn't go our way, you know, and that's going to happen. I don't care if you live one more day or you live another 50 years. It's going to happen. So we already know it's going to happen. We already know these fiery darts or these little foxes are going to come to try to spoil the vine. We already know that. And if we could just get ourselves to the point where automatically when that hits, we just go into prayer and just start speaking to him, just start talking to him. You know, prayer, sometimes people think prayer is such a holy thing that you have to be in your closet and you have to be.
I've been on the highway. I was crying. Oh, God, pray. then I just start, let me pray. I put on a CD, begin to pray, and I turn the CD off and continue, because coming to that place with him.
And if you take that time, you'll find that place.
Yes.
And that's the hard part, because the flesh is willing, but you got to have the spirit strong.
The
spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. Sorry. Yeah, the flesh is never willing. Okay? The flesh says, get your pound of flesh back at him. You know, the flesh says, oh man, they really did you wrong, or oh this, or oh that. I'm telling you, those things are going to keep coming until we overcome and get victory in those areas. Those areas, I mean, have you noticed it? If you're struggling in something, they keep coming. And I'm not saying they'll completely go away, but I'm telling you what, when they do come, you know, it's this,
yeah.
You know,
and
doesn't affect you, huh?
You're an overcomer.
There you go. And that's what overcoming means. And that's where the victory is when you don't let it put a hold on you. You know, when you let someone else control you, you're miserable. Well, situations, people, anything other than the Lord, if you let it control you, it will. It will, every time. And God will keep bringing it until you finally say, I surrender. I can't do this anymore. I need you, and I need you only, because if I have you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does that mean? That means I cannot let those things bother me anymore that used to bother me. They still bother you, but you don't let them get a hold on you, get a grab on you. J.B. Phillips.
Is it welcome these things as friends?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Wow. You know something? It just seems like God has let me live like years and never put me through this. And all of a sudden, I think he's saying, come on up. Are you willing to let go of these things?
Mm-hmm.
Come on up higher. Come on, let me show you how. And all of a sudden, all these different battery rams from all over are just, you know, and I'm learning that all those things that I thought were blessings, because I was giving my will back, and God was blessing me, what I thought was me, is not the important thing at all. And in the midst of all these trials, I'm learning to come up higher. I'm learning to see. You know, if there's one thing I am learning, it is that this is not my life. I am not of this earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things of this earth just should not affect. I should be at a different level with my life. You know, and counting your trials as friends, welcoming them in, goes against every single thing that your flesh tells you, and that your soul and your emotions tell you. My soul wants its pound of flesh. My God within me says, let them all fall.
I heard a guy the other day talking about, we were talking about willingness, and he said, we're willing to give it up to the Lord, but we're not willing to allow him to do his work.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's easy to give it up, but you got to let him do what he has to do.
You have to be content with the consequences that he brings about. That's right. And then the other side of that is, if we're not content with the consequences of what he's done, we'll take it back.
Exactly.
We'll take it back and try to do it in our own power. And how's it working for you?
Yeah.
Not very well. Not very well at all.
Says, "I'm very good."
Yeah, we have a saying in our radio program is, if you're going to do it your own way, okay, go ahead. How's it working for you? You know, how you doing? Do you feel like you have victory? Do you feel like you're overcoming? Well, you may for a minute, but then the next trial is going to be a little hotter, a little more intense, because he's got to get you. He loves you so much that he's got to get you to a point where you turn it all over to him. Like the song says, "I surrender all." Well, let's see. I surrender about 90%, Lord. That's not all. That 10%'s got to go. And I think that's when Paul said, "I am content in whatever state I'm in."
Oh, yeah.
That is, you know that you are progressing precept upon precept, line upon line, glory to glory. You're moving in the right direction when you start becoming content in whatever state you're in. Whether it's Indiana, no, I'm just kidding.
Remember,
Indiana, Ohio.
What's
that?
That's right.
That's right. He loves us so much. He wants us to grow up just like we want our kids to grow up. We don't want to have 18-year-old babies going off to college or something, and they don't know anything about keeping the, you know, they're doing their laundry or whatever. We try to teach them all those things so that when they do go on, they can survive.
I was laughing when you said, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." I said, sometimes that love you, it's very great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're like this chasing it all. Yes.
Well, I like in Psalms 104:15. I love this because it just kind of brings it all together. And it's threefold. And I love the number three, which is, you know, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As well as your soul, your body, and your spirit. But anyway, it says, "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread with which strengthens his," I can't say the TH on the end, so I'll just say our vernacular, "strengthens man's heart." I love this because, you know, it's all reference to Jesus. You know, you got the wine, you know, the wine, the Holy Spirit, right? You got the oil, which is the anointing. You got the bread, which is Jesus is the bread of life. He is the Word. And so it's like if you put all that in, it says, you know, and the Holy Spirit makes glad the heart of man. And the anointing to make his face. You can't get the anointing without the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, you know. And the anointing to make his face to shine. And Jesus, which strengthens man's heart. I just love that. I think it's really neat how that is said in three. Okay, and then it says in Ecclesiastes 8:1, "Who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face shine." Wisdom can only come from God, right?
Mm-hmm. And they said even when you read wisdom, put in place of the word wisdom, when you read in Proverbs and those scriptures where it says wisdom, and talk about wisdom, use God or Jesus in place of that word wisdom.
Yeah, whether it's man's wisdom or God's wisdom, ultimately, what was that?
Yes, Lord,
hear the clock. Yes.
Okay, Lord. The clock just fell. We knew we were supposed to fall back or spring forward, but that's literal, isn't it? Today. Huh? Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. But yeah, you know, man's wisdom and God's wisdom, of course, are different, but ultimately it's all going to be God's wisdom. It's all going to turn into God's wisdom, which is going to make our faces shine. And then, of course, Isaiah 60, you all know this one. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.
Isaiah 60,
verse 1.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just basically we've pretty much covered it, that our goal is to get so much of God that we become Him. Jesus said, Lord, make them one as we are one. So thank God He has to do the perfecting, and He will. He will perfect that which He started in each one of us. And sometimes, you know, it hurts. As a little boy, I can remember if I really acted up, my dad would tell me to go to the bedroom and shut the door. And he would wait, and he would wait, and he would wait some more. I knew I was going to, the pain was coming. I knew it was coming. I mean, he would use this yardstick, wooden yardstick. And I knew the pain was coming. And so the waiting was actually worse than the actual whooping. Because as soon as I would hear him grab that doorknob, and terror would just grip me. That was worse than the actual, you know. But then I had one on him. He'd hit me once, and I'd just scream and yell like he was killing me. So he would, like, back off, you know. He'd back off a little bit so that he would, you know, because he's thinking, well, maybe I'm hitting him a little bit hard. So I'm playing that psychological game back with him, you know. So kids, they all do all they can to get by, don't they? Oh, they do. They do. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. We got a lot to look forward to today. It's not in the sweet by and by. It's right now. I mean, this stuff is going on right now. A lot of this stuff that was written in Matthew 24, whatever, it's already happened, folks. Unbeknownst to a lot of eschatological teachers, this stuff has already happened. He says, this group will not die until this comes to pass. Well, we weren't in that group, were we? We weren't there when he was telling them. But they want to bring that into a future thing. And it's not. It's already happened. Jesus said it is finished, and he said it, and he meant it. And once it's finished, then we have all these benefits that we're going to talk a little bit more about here. Okay, anything else on one? We only got to one. I don't know what time it is now, but we only got, it's 10:37. Okay, we got one. So anybody have anything else to bring out of one? Okay, who wants to read two? Okay.
That your way may be known upon earth, your saving power, your deliverances, and your salvation among all nations.
I like that. King James says, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health, your said power, among all nations. Okay, that thy way may be known upon the earth. The way is a person. Jesus is the way. So you can put that in there. You can say that Jesus may be known upon the earth. So the way is a road, a way, a path, a course of life. You know, your walk. You know, it talks about the shod your feet with the gospel of peace. You know, it's your walk. And that walk can overtake people. Your walk can overtake. What that means is your walk can influence people, can help people, can, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Can be a role model to people. You know, we've all seen people that as baby Christians, we looked at them, we go, that's a role model. That's someone that I can, you know, look up to. And not that you're looking up to them, but you're looking up to the Christ in them, you know. And I like this saving health. And also he says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. But I think if you keep reading on, the more we become like him, you know, then we will understand his ways much clearer. We will be able to understand Jesus and what he truly did other than just save the world. This thing, saving health, it's saving power in the Amplified. I mean, I love this. When I looked up this word, saving health came together in Strong's. Do you know what that means in the Hebrew word for that? Yeshua.
Oh, wow.
Yeshua. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is our saving health, our saving power. It means salvation, deliverance, welfare, prosperity, victory. I mean, you can add everything else in there too. Peace, joy. Oh my gosh, I went, Yeshua. I mean, I went, it's all about everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. Of course, everything in the New Testament points to Jesus, but the whole book points to Jesus. And that's so neat. And then you go to, and it says prosperity and victory. So let me say those again. Yeshua means, in Hebrew, means salvation, deliverance, welfare, prosperity, and victory. What's not in there? You can say peace. Well, let me tell you, if you got all that, you got peace. Joy's not in there. Well, if you have all that, you've got joy. Righteousness, if you have, you know, you can go on down the list. You've got it all with Jesus. It's all there. And then the root, I love this, and we all want a bunch of this. The root of this word, saving health, Yeshua, is deliverance from dangers and distresses. And we were talking about things that distressed us earlier. That's the only answer to it. You can go to the psychologist, you can take pills, you can go talk to friends, you can do whatever. There are no answers in the world. It's Jesus. That's right there. It's your saving health. And it's so awesome to see this puzzle come together. Out of Psalms 67, you find Jesus all through it. Okay. Anything else on Psalm 67:2?
I heard at the beginning of In Touch, they sang a song this morning. And it kind of, you know, just caught my attention. And it said, the song was, why do I love God? And of course the answer was, because of your sin. But it said, one of the lines in the song was, he requireth nothing, he heals.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What a picture of Christ, you know, and his, the salvation on the cross. I believe that I'm starting to understand the salvation of Christ in such a deep way, in a much more personal way, in a much more unbelievable, what an unbelievable thing it is, just in the last. You know, I think I was all a Christian for many, many years, and I understood that on some level. But I understand that it's becoming deeper, deeper, deeper. Just salvation on the cross, what he did, what it did. You know, he required nothing. He gave himself completely, and he heals everything.
Everything, he heals everything. That's good. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, but he heals everything. That's good. Okay, anybody else? Let's zip through Psalm 67:3. This will be quick. Let the people praise thee, O God, let the people praise thee. I mean, we all know what praise is, to give thanks, you know, to honor, to give glory to, whatever. But I love the part where it says, let all the people, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess Jesus is Christ. So, I mean, this is another example all throughout the Bible of how much he loves the world. That all people, that means all. There's nothing. There's not one missing from all. It's not 99.9999999999%. It's 100% of let all the people praise thee. And it will happen. There's not a person on earth that will not praise him. Okay. Anything on three? Because four is chock full. I doubt if we get through it, but we'll try. Go ahead on three.
When you were saying that, to praise and to give thanks and honor, and just this came to my mind right now, I know God come into agreement with.
That's good.
Because when we can't help but praise him, we're in agreement with him.
And we can't help but praise him when we finally recognize that he is in control.
Yes.
That we're not in control, he is in control. Even if we think we're in control, he's still in control. I mean, I'm sure you all can too come up with times, even before we gave our hearts to the Lord, like the Bible said, he first loved us. But I bet you can come up with a story. I know I can, two or three, where his hand was on my life before I gave my life to him.
Mm-hmm.
That I know it was him.
Yeah.
He saved my physical life in a car accident. I know it was him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was under the influence, not of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. I think we've probably all been there at one
time. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's how much he loves all of us. He doesn't respect me any more than anybody else. I'm no different than anybody. I'm just one of his created beings that he loves. But at that time, I wasn't serving him. I wasn't doing anything. I went to Sunday school as a little kid. But I couldn't tell you very much about the Bible. I couldn't tell you much about anything other than I knew what Christmas was and Easter was. But he loved me so much that he saved my life on that road. That's pretty neat. Anything else on three? We're going to start four. What time is it? It's okay. We got some time. Okay. This Psalm 67:4 is it blew me away. It's so chock full of really good stuff. I'll read it first of all in King James, and then Brenda or Mike. Do you have a message? Yeah. If you could read it, and then Brenda, if you could read it in Amplified. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. You go, geez, that can't be much in that. Okay, who's got something?
Here, it says, let all far-flung people become happy and shout their happiness, because you judge them fair and square and you tend the far-flung peoples.
Interesting. That's
far-flung.
That's yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. The two words righteous judgment only appear in the Bible three times. And I'm going to quickly read each one of them. Romans 2:5 is after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God. So that you listen to that, you go, whoo, That's scary. That, I mean, we're talking the day of wrath, but it also says of revelation. Mm-hmm. And there's only one thing that revelation means. It's revealing Christ. That's it. You can use the word revelation all you want in the Bible, but it's always going to mean revealing Christ. Mm-hmm. And where is it revealed? In us. But the righteous judgment of God. Where is the other one here? Second Thessalonians 1:5 says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I have to even stop before I use that word. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom. Well, you know the only thing that's worthy in here.
Yes.
It's not anything about rich. It's all about Jesus. Woo! So it says that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. But then it says this, for which you also suffer. But man, like Paul said, you know, I consider these light afflictions to be nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Let's see. Well, let's go back up and let's go to... okay, let's go to righteous judgment. What does that mean? Righteous, observing divine laws, but I love this. Approved or acceptable of God. Approved, it's like the good housekeeping seal, you know. Approved and acceptable to God. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly conformed to the will of God. Innocent, faultless, guiltless. Now only one can say that they fit that, right? Mm-hmm. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can be approved and accepted of God. Only Jesus was conformed totally, 100% to the will of God. And only Jesus was innocent, faultless, and guiltless. But guess what? What you were talking about on the cross, Kathy, because of all that, that's us. That is us. We can say, not in a haughty manner, but we can say that we are approved and accepted of God. Right? Am I off base here with that? Okay, we can say that we're wholly conformed to the will of God. Well, but I messed up yesterday. Doesn't matter. It's not what you did, it's who you are. It's who He is, really, in us. So, and then you can say, I'm innocent, faultless, and guiltless. And that sounds, wow, that just doesn't sound right. But it is. It truly is. And because, do you remember when the blood of Jesus symbolically was sprinkled on the mercy seat? The judgment seat became the mercy seat. And that mercy seat is exactly what it says. Mercy. Grace. And that is... that's the good news of the Bible. So, I'm just going to skip down to, I'm going to come back to something, but I just feel we need to talk about this. This Amplified, John 3:16, 17, and 18. As Mike knows on the radio program, we will not allow anybody to quote John 3:16 unless they quote John 3:17. Well, now I'm going to start quoting John 3:18 because especially you got to hear this. We'll kind of close with this, but we're going to have to revisit this next week. But shout this one out, Brenda, on the Amplified, because this will set you free, man. I'm telling you. John 3:16, 17, and 18. I'll go ahead and start while you're looking. All right. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, that so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish. They shall not come to destruction or be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't ever, don't please, if you don't pick up anything today but this one thing, don't ever read John 16 or quote John 16 without coming back on John 17, because it, to me, just takes it to a whole nother level. So go ahead.
For God so greatly loved and dearly prized.
Go to 17.
Go to 17?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, or to pass sentence on the world.
Yes.
But that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him.
Whoa! Come on now.
He who believes in him, who clings to, trusts in, relies on him, is not judged. He who trusts in him never comes up for judgment.
Stop it. Come on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That. Come on, Brenda, that goes against 90% of what you're hearing out in the churches today. Come on now. Did you make that up? Say it again.
For he who believes in him, who clings to, trusts in, relies on, is not judged. For he who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. For him there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not believe, cleave to, rely on, and trust in him, is judged already. And he has already been convicted and has already received his sentence because he has not believed in, trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He who is condemned for refusing to let him trust and rest in Christ's name.
Well, let me tell you, those will come too.
Yes. That's right.
Those will come too.
Oh, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Oh, but I mean, look at this. Why do we condemn ourselves? Why do we, you know, because some of the stuff we've heard is, okay, there's going to be this big white throne judgment and we're going to have to walk by the throne and our life is going to flash before us and God's going to remind us of every evil, despicable, terrible thing we've ever done. Hogwash. That's not what the Bible says, does it? I mean, am I right or wrong? I mean,
Jesus took all that.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's how we're raised.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. God's breaking through with a new word. He's breaking through religious spirits, demonic spirits. He's breaking through all that with truth, with his truth. And it's love. The truth is love, Jesus. It's love. And that's what righteous judgment is all about. Huh? Every knee shall bow, and everyone that confesses Jesus as Lord, they've already been, it's been judged. It says right here, never comes up for judgment, for there is no rejection, no condemnation. So let's walk in that. I mean, we should never have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Just go back and read that in the Amplified, and your day will change instantly, because you're saying, hey, all this garbage that I learned at, you know, vacation Bible school or whatever, that God's, you know, this taskmaster that's going to come down hard on all. Yeah, come on. Righteous judgment. If it wasn't righteous, you know, some people make you think, well, it's righteous because he's warned us. And if he smacks you down or whatever, it's because he warned you ahead of time. How righteous is that? But that's what I believed at one time, and as a little kid or whatever, maybe that's what kept a lot of people from accepting the Lord, because they're saying, that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow. So anyway, I kind of got a little off, but...
No, you didn't.
Huh?
You didn't get off. That was good.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we'll pick up with this. I got more on four. It's Lord just poured through a lot of good stuff. So, Mike, you want to close us in prayer?
Father, we just thank you for this word today, Father. Thank you for the encouragement, Father, that you would give us through the word today. Father, we look forward to what you're going to do in our lives.
Yes.
We give you all the praise and glory.
Amen, amen, and amen. Praise